interrupting the current neo-euchronial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTW RLM 515. As we continue on the nonsense that's going on, and how much more can they heap on us before we just start saying, that's enough? And I'm not so sure we may. I'm not so sure that we don't get into what we believe is better discussion about what we think we know. But these people mean to hurt us. These people don't have a respect one. We're going to start back again. We started leaving last week at the part where we're talking to the UK having problems, and it's the next, we can watch and see what's where the future's going through that. I failed to mention New Zealand last week. They're all part of that, too. They really started the whole thing. Their prime minister bailed on all of them. And so I'm not so sure, again, there's a truth coming, and I don't know whether they are bailing a ship, the rats are bailing from the ship, or else it's just doing that sleight of hand so everybody forgets who did what, and they keep moving along, or the worm that moves down history and drags everybody with it. So we find this repulsive, abhorrent opinions and ideas from people in positions of power that need to be removed. And this is universal. Again, as I've identified it, no official in the United States stepped up and did the law at all. All those that had the duty to should be removed. And that will crimp a lot of people who believe in certain politicians are better than others, but they all did it. And they're all not worthy. And part of the underlying point here now, we see even the evilness, if you will, I don't know what more to say, that somebody, in a health secretary in a country, would want to move and act through a terror should be all we really need to know. And I'm suggesting that no official didn't move through terror when they didn't do what they were supposed to do up front. And we allowed them, as a people, allowed them to move us forward. UK, ex-UK health secretary's COVID memoirs censored by cabinet over lab leak claims. And so this is, again, the story that keep fomenting this idea there was a lab leak. But this is an interesting move, the old looking back. And remember, this was a moving target for us. Most of us didn't understand how this was working. We certainly didn't apply the fraud and first rate and just hold it there until they can fix that. That we didn't even stop it at the presumptive emergency. But Matt Hancock, the UK's ex-health minister, handed his pandemic diaries draft for review in 2022. It was urged to make a slew of changes insisted on by the Cabinet Office. According to thousands of WhatsApp messages traded between him and other British officials at the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, cited by the media report, that he was instructed to do so to water down the skepticism regarding the Wuhan wet market explanation and the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. I just want to, again, I don't want to touch this much more other than to keep reminding us this is the narrative. This is now removing us back like a eye of newt, wing of bat caused all this. None of this is the truth. None of this is the truth. I understand that there's a motion before the United States Congress or something to move forward a report that shows the origins. All of that's likely going to be a lie. Because they have to admit this was a synthetic bioweapon, and they're not going to do that. The thing that issued or shared, they even talk about it when you read about it, the information was shared by China. This was just protein strings and chemical assemblies. So this report comes out again just to remind us, they're trying to remind us there was something out there. There was something to leak. There was a real the virus. There is no the virus. So this is the first problem. This story is the first problem that the government of the UK was, and the way they do this process is normal, making sure that they're not going to have any international incidents. They were concerned about what the Chinese would respond to. Well, when everybody understood inside the system knows the biodiversity treaty was the sharing of information, that's all China did, and China would very well have a problem with any of these stories. And the problem about all that is every government had its angle to come in and oppress its people, and that's the underlying problem with all of this. So we then get the next story here, Matt Hancock's plan to frighten the pants off everyone about COVID. If this isn't, I don't know why this isn't a call to arms. Every official did this. Why? Because they just ran on a presumptive foreign suggestion by the WHO, the World Health Organization, who's actually the World Hoax Organization, and no one's figured that out. Some of us do that, know that. And they overwhelmed, they allowed, the local jurisdictions overwhelmed this broker of harma to hurt us. That someone, a bureaucrat, inside the government of the United Kingdom, wanted to frighten the pants off of everyone, shows you they don't have any of our best interests involved. This is a leaked WhatsApp messages reveal how Health Secretary hoped to shock public into complying with ever-changing lockdown rules. And we've read all about those lockdown rules. They started way back in the 2010 and stuff, as we were watching through the Rockefeller Foundation and lockstep and all that, and then Event 201. All that was a setup for you. In on it was the pigs fly flu, when they were trying to pass that off as a big problem, and they're doing it, so I don't know what else to say. And then the test was, they could do it to a chicken, could they do it to you? And they did. I'm shocked. And then to see this come out is, this is the type of people that somehow got themselves in government. And we really should not be okay with this. How we resolve that, I don't know. I don't seem to see the coherence within the system, if you will, the system of people. Nothing I'm doing, I'm saying, seems to get out in any kind of number. Some of it does, but not near as much as it needs to. Even to test it, and even to get correction, it's not going out. But we wanted to frighten the pants off everyone, is what Matt Hancock suggested during one of the WhatsApp messages to his media advisor. There's so much more here to go through. You need to see how this works out yourself. I can't keep reporting on all of this. The paperwork, I don't need to see much of it anyway. But some of you apparently do. And I'm not talking just as people that already agree. I'm talking about getting the people who really don't understand. They still use the word COVID and COVID-19 and vaccine and all this other stuff, and they still think there's a leak. This is a problem that I don't know how to resolve that. None of this is existing. This was a complete rout. The whole thing is a narrative. The whole thing was set up. They came in on the back of real stuff, let's say the influenza numbers that were, I told you, going into 2019, we were getting the reports. Regular seasonal influenza was killing people at record numbers 3 years going into 3 years prior. And those numbers just got sucked off of one side of the ledger and put right back onto this fairy tale. And people believed it, and I'm not going to challenge that. These information cognitive warfare techniques are very powerful. Well, look at, we just see the perspective management works. You know, we have to be more protective of that in ourselves, and I'm not so sure that's going to happen. But again, this guy wanted to scare the pants off everyone. He's not isolated, I guess, first of all. Secondly, no one stopped that anywhere in the world. They all scared everybody. I say everybody, I know, don't qualify my words. If you weren't scared, you got affected by those that were. So they got societies to capitulate. And they're moving the next thing forward as we move on later down the road again to this getting the WHO more say over local authority. And I've been telling you they're going to adjust that. It's going to be very difficult in the future to get around what they're going to be doing. I've brought out that even if the treaty doesn't go, they've got a CDC, another foreigner, to the states, has a draft legislation before the states to anticipate they're going to agree. The COVID proved it. They got bribed to implement it, and the WHO then gets the authority to mitigate the international threat, which they're creating, again, over and over, and no one's going to be able to figure this one out. Most people are still arguing mitigation, how wrong it was all done. The whole thing was done wrong. It wasn't just the vaccines, just the masks, or just the distancing and everything else that was wrong. It couldn't go right, so what's the point? So we have information warfare going in and on. I'm just real happy to have focused in on that information warfare thing with the government militaries are doing against the people. All of the governments are doing it. It's not just one. We're all subject to this thing. these folks understood something about it. That's why they're moving through the fear part, that no one had the scruples to go through the law. None. It should terrify you. This should terrify you. One way they got around the law is they literally got around the law. At least it doesn't look like it really on the surface, because they claim to have some remaining civil authority, but the civil authority becomes military. And this is for the United States, it's the DHS, what happened 9/11. Why I told you what ends up being Covey Swindle is the Operation Hindsight 2020. Would we notice as a people what they did? Would we stop the next thing coming? And we didn't. Till today, we haven't. Leaked documents reveal Homeland Security problems. Well, I would just say you think, but here we have more and more proof. The government is not at all what we were thought. It didn't really help to come to save us. It was there to control. And again, this continuity government sits right here to be being implemented right before us, and we may not really know it. We have no indication to say that it's not, actually. When we start looking around and not finding our rights anywhere, I start to wonder, maybe that's what Lieber was talking about. You know them when you see them. Start believing what you're seeing. DHS has little-known domestic surveillance program, as well as concerns over political abuse and retaliation. And that little end of the tag there was very important to another story coming right up here after, where we have the DHS is now looking internally, just as it was set up to do, make everybody a criminal, make everybody misdemeanor at least, but I'll come under the war of terror. All of that needs to be thrown away. We need to, that's going to be one of the few things that enables the people in order to get back to some normalcy relative to its politics. And this is the thing, this is a political overthrow. This whole thing was a terrorism by the government. When you throw over your politics and you threaten violence and threats of death due to some vaccine is that kind of a thing. When you as a government are telling you people that they are lying upon them, that's another style of violence that then changes your politics. It changes what you do and how you say it. Again, the January 6th tapes coming out, I'm not going to go into all those. I didn't understand how this is such, got so far away from the first two videos I saw were nothing like what the Democrats are saying. This whole thing is one lie after the other, set up to contain your mind in order to get control, because these folks move on and on and on. They don't really stop. They figured this thing out at a level I'm kind of impressed by, but it doesn't mean that that's our excuse to not. The Department of Homeland Security is operating a virtually unknown intelligence gathering program within the United States. Political reported Monday, citing internal documents. Also among the revelations were concerns by many DHS staff that their work was inappropriate or illegal, and the other influence of the politics on operations. The Overt Human Intelligence Collection Program, or OHIC, has been in existence since at least 2016, according to Politico, which did not disclose how it obtained the documents. I just go back to say DHS is a cancer. It was set up to be a cancer. I think it was set up, but not the DHS, but this system of continuity of government and the structure around giving a civil authority the power to do what it's doing in order to go and let the military do what it did and has been doing to us is really a cancer that I cannot say it is not existent right now. This interesting story popped up to say that that's exactly what they're doing. They're checking in on us, and they were never supposed to turn their scope in on us. 9/11 allowed that. But at the same time, remember, they're trying to get more power. These laws about 9/11 are sunsetting. I also understand there was a withdrawal. There tried to be a bill of withdrawing the act that brought this in, but that's not going to happen. And that shows you the problem. But at the same time, the DHS's cyber agency, CISA, scrubbed its website last week to purge all references to domestic censorship work. But they were also talking about domestic disinfo, and it's all tied to domestic terrorism. So don't underestimate what they're saying here. CIS deleted 2 years' worth of confessions to getting platforms to stop domestic disinfo by U.S. citizens. Now, this is any information that counters what they wanted to get done through 9/11 and the change there. So don't underestimate this. And what they did, when you go look and see some of the evidence here, and you're going to qualify a lot of this from a thread by Mike Benz pointing this out, they took the word domestic out and they make it look like their records are only focused on foreign entities, foreign citizens. Why? Because they're attempting to get these new laws re-upped. They don't want the evidence on their website, they've been actively attacking the people of the United States. That's my take. I guess we can say that's an opinion, but why else would you scrub what you've been doing to eliminate the constituents of the Congress who are going to vote for the money to keep it going? And so we need a big pushback. I don't know how this all works. I don't know what you all do on social media. I don't see much coalescing together to do the campaigns that we need to do to get the information back out, start putting pressure on the representatives, however they are, whatever they be, whatever good they are. Just get the word out now that things have to be rectified. It's time. This is not the act of an honest, and this is the thing I think it gets me over and over again. The United States is not an honest entity at all, ever. And I know people may laugh about that, but we're supposed to have this high level. And the reason why you do that is because when you're going to go deal with someone, they know that you have an entity of integrity. Unlike what's gone on, and now Russia cannot deal with the United States because the United States is no longer an entity of integrity at all, even under even just close wraps, not even the pretense. So they're scrubbing the record. Your record is being scrubbed. The DHS is even looking at you folks. And so this is the big problem for me as the government does what it does to make the record to protect itself. And we're sitting barefoot, no records at all. Don't show it. Don't make any dressments about a lot of this stuff. And then I watch so-called representatives and senators talking about certain things totally off the mark of what they should, of the threat. We don't talk about the real threats. In other words, they're part of it. It was on their watch. They're part of it. And those people that came in recently, it's not, they weren't part of it. They're going down other paths. It's not even on the point. When you're being attacked and you're being considered to be, well, you watched how the January 6th people were treated. That was not justice, and no one stopped the injustice if you were presumed innocent, which means you're not presumed innocent. And then you find out the tapes show that they were at least had a bunch of evidence that should have been brought before, and the courts didn't allow it. Now, you got to don't miss that point. The courts didn't allow it. The courts allowed injustice. We have some serious problems in this country. As the U.S. military plans to use deep fakes and take over appliances for propaganda, the Pentagon is asking for help in taking its brainwashing operations to the next level. Some more reports coming through what the military has been doing. I'm really happy with making the decision to move into cognitive warfare on the instance of Sound Mind's collection of information, all of a sudden coming together, saying it's time to do this now. We see the military is involved in an ongoing attack. I don't care whether you bring it through the DHS as a civil agreement or the military itself as an attack at warp speed, and everything else that came by it through 9/11 and other things right before that as well. There's so much here to go through ongoing that I don't know how people are missing it. Some people don't miss it, but we that don't miss it aren't a coalescing body to bring it up. Everything I write anymore, I look around, and the supposed representatives will not respond. And so I don't even know if they're real, first of all. Secondly, I don't know why they don't respond, and I don't know what their thoughts are. If they don't have the thoughts, the things that I'm bringing forward, which are rooted in law, principle, and all that stuff, then what kind of representatives do we have? It ends up being anybody with the next cause that they can get the populace to agree is the next cause to be popular with. And that's not going to help us here when the Pentagon is on us. Again, global dominance. Everybody is subject. I've been talking a little bit about this in the last few weeks, about how, you know, all the people, except for the military itself, everyone's an enemy. And you'll be treated or mistreated as they need to work it out, and they've got the infrastructure. Can you create cutting-edge deepfake videos, spy on people using household appliances, and make massive data dragnets? If so, the Pentagon wants to hear from you so it can amp up its manipulation efforts. So right on the point of what I've been talking about for almost a month now, we see that this is not going in the battlefield of the Internet of Things is real. They're now promoting. They want people to be able to take the stuff that's in your house, your smart devices, your Internet connections, your technology that's used now. I haven't even done the reports now. The routers are able and your phones, the signals coming from them, you're able to paint a 3D picture, as I reported years ago. What happened? They're doing it now. They're collecting all this stuff up, and the Pentagon wants to be able to create so-called deep fake conditions in order to put you in a place that you may or may never have done, or more importantly, to something that they need done in order to advance further on, whether in any form, whether that's a perception management or actual an operation that you happen to be in the wrong place at the right time for. U.S. Special Operations Command, USSOCOM, has issued proposal requests for the whole host of dodgy services, according to new documents obtained by The Intercept. Specifically, the Pentagon is looking for next-generation capability to take over Internet of Things, IoT devices, in order to collect data and information from local populaces to enable a breakdown of what messaging might be popular and accepted through sifting of data once received. For what purpose? This would enable MISO, or Military Information Support Operations, to craft and promote messages that may be more readily received by the local populace in relevant near-peer environments, according to the document. Exactly what the information warfare is about, exactly what they've been doing. Now they're asking, actually trying to contract with people that have the next level of integration with all this data against you. And this is where we get into the censorship problem and how your local representatives, your congressional representatives, are not helping any of us as they continue to beat around the bush and don't go after the root of the problem. And to start, because this is a war against us and the attack is going on, you have to start cutting the lines of support to all those agencies that are attacking us. And that would be what Congress has specially made to do, which is be able to mitigate or cut appropriations. FBI faces continued investigation over surveillance and censorship of Americans. Where did all this come from? But 9/11. It came from that lie called the War on Terror. It was the War of Terror, and we've seen this for years and years, and the government is doing it against us, we the people, and if we don't understand that for ourselves, you can say, look out, oh, well, they're doing it over there. No, they're doing it to everybody. This is where this went when the War of Terror hit. Everybody became a terrorist. FBI faces continued investigation. Okay, fine. How long? There's some good stuff coming out, but it just kind of sits flat after a while. Why? In a speech at the Conservative Political Action CPAC event, Representative Matt Gaetz called for the abolishment of federal agencies like the Justice Department and FBI, partly because they have been weaponized to surveil and censor Americans. Well, all they have to do is get rid of all the allowing legislation, enabling age legislation to allow that, and maybe that will start it. But this is a call to defund the FBI, and I'm wondering, he seems to be an outlier. So the odds of this happening are not going to probably fly so much, and you're going to see that here in a short little bit relative to this war on terror. It's not going anywhere. And when it's not going anywhere, we are in real trouble. The war on terror includes the attack through bioweapons. Gaetz goes on to say here, it seems like every time I turn around, federal agencies engage in surveillance or monitoring. I don't care if it takes every second of our time and every ounce of our energy. We either get this government back on our side, or we defund and get rid of, abolish the FBI, CDC, the ATF, DOJ, every last one of them if they do not come to heel. Great sentiment. I don't know how it gets done. And I'm not going to say that it's absolutely impossible, because he had a lot of support on one of his last bills that he put forward, just not enough, by a large margin. This ain't going any, these wars against us aren't going anywhere. And what I appreciate about this story is the claiming that it's weaponized to surveil and censor Americans. That's the least of it, but at least getting that word out. This is the people of the United States of America. You better listen about the attack that you're under. Biden State Department's Global Engagement Center accused of being a propaganda arm, censorship records are requested. Again, we try to do the information. I don't know why this is even a question, but here we go, get the evidence, I suppose. American First Legal has expanded its investigation into Biden administration by filing another Freedom of Information Act request with the State Department for all records showing the department's involvement of the administration's obsession with the misinformation and disinformation. You'd think all this stuff would be a violation of the First Amendment, folks. That it's not tells you something. A big deal. A big deal is told to you whether you want to really accept that responsibility or not. According to the AFL, Biden administration has increasingly weaponized. This becomes a theme again. And I don't want to make this too diminished. It has been weaponized. It's not just that Biden's been doing it. The military, the DHS, is in the background doing it. It's being adopted by the civil side. It's been allowed by the judiciary and allowed by the law, like CSI, where now the DHS scrubs every evidence that they're even looking at you at all, you domestic terrorist, you. No, they're not looking at you right now. I would suspect that as soon as they get their money and they re-up the enactments, enabling acts to continue their tyranny, you're going to be seeing the word domestic put back in their records. The weaponized federal government against the Americans' First Amendment rights, is that all? Wow. The aim of the new request is to obtain information showing that the White House censorship efforts started with the State Department. Okay, well, I don't know why they're tracking down where it starts. It's happening. It's not supposed to happen. And so, although, go do your FOIAs, get your information, get your evidence. You have to get your evidence. As a people, we need our evidence. We can't be talking out of our opinions. Ultimately, the Bar Association system has failed us, so I'm not sure where we're going to go with all this anyway. This has to become something that we hold to ourselves, that we show that the government is responding irresponsibly in breach of trust, that the use of the national security is a breach of trust. It was improperly used, no different than the incorrect imposition of a medical emergency, communicable disease emergency under color of an emergency that wasn't. Coming right out of the gate, it was presumptive. You can't have a presumptive emergency. There's either a bridge out or it's not. It's pretty simple. You can either point to that or you don't. But now, so I want to be careful here. We go on to Biden's record, this, that, and the other. When you get involved with the State Department, that is bureaucratic. That's going on and on and on through administrations. Secret Service and ICE conducted illegal surveillance through fake cell towers. This one struck me a bit. We've heard about the cell towers. We've heard about the Stingray devices. But when you see the agencies again, utilizing this excuse of national security to then broaden their ability to collect information on innocent people, and there's no check and no balance about it. If there is, can be a balance. I don't know that there can be a balance on this. I really have to shake my head about us, the people, and where is your judiciary and your Justice Department and even your military to not limit their authority on their own? There used to be a time in this place that people knew a limit. They took their oath, they didn't go beyond it. Or they fulfilled it, one or the other. And now that the wraps of that are off. Like I've explained all this in the past. The newly released report from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General revealed that the federal agencies include Homeland Security Investigations, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and use cell tower stimulators to illegally conduct surveillance. Again, the DHS, I cannot hold back my thought that this is a continuity government problem, that we don't longer have our government. Doesn't matter what your representatives say at this point, because they allow this thing to be funded and continued. And I'm going to get to the evidence here. They're continuing. They're not going to give it up. And that's a real problem again. Maybe we're just not being loud enough with the representatives and saying, listen, all this other stuff may be important, but we need to stop this. We need to stop this attack. We need to stop the bloodletting that we're being put underneath, and the more constraints that are going on to bring more and more people involved where the government has no interest, literally has no interest, but for this lie called national security. The CSS, or the Stingrays, are devices that mimic cell phone towers, duping mobile devices within a certain radius to connect them instead of cell towers. Once connected to CSS, law enforcement can conduct a search of the devices in violation of their basic constitutional freedoms. CSS can pinpoint the location of the phone more accurately than using phone numbers, They also log the unique identified number of the IMSI of all devices in certain radius. And that IMSI you'll find in your information, phone information, and it is the special identifier that's sitting inside that hardware you called your phone. That's very critical. So there, my question on that was how and where, how did they get this warrant in order to be able to have your phone without a probable cause? Whatever happened to articulable basis, I don't know. It's down the toilet. The probable cause to believe that you're doing any kind of crime, that they can dupe your equipment and confiscate the signal in order to do checks on your phone, is really an astonishing thing that we'll just read. Yes, I know it's there, and yes, it's not that much of a shock in a way, but when you consider that you got to hold on to this foundation, this, you know, we talk about red lines. We have a red line that we have to make with rights for ourselves. If we don't hold to that really tenaciously, we're losing it. We're watching how this is going away. And there's systems in the government already in place that allow it. But I have to put a great blame on the judiciary in this regard for not checking that. If we don't, again, without the remedy for these things, and there's, when you go attempt to make the remedy and there's no reflection of it, it's the same difference. You have none. You have none, then you have no rights. You're into that condition. When are you going to decide? You're no longer in a constitutional Republican form representative government that cares, that is going to care, that intends to care, and you're in an occupied territory and a usurpation and a treason. Well, there may be no treason once they get rid of all the laws, isn't it? They've got no duty but to themselves under the color that they're protecting some nation that no longer exists. And that's the world you live in? Is that the kind of world you want to leave to your little ones? Is that the one you want to continue to live in? All this stuff, I don't even know. I don't have a little one to leave it to, but it just looks like that was the wrong thing to go. Why were we letting that happen to us? Secret Service and ICE conduct illegal surveillance. If it's illegal, what's it being done for? And it continues. And there's no stop. There's no way to get this thing stopped. Well, again, Matt Gaetz is calling out for this defund this place. I would like to see a lot of that. We need to constrain. You want to get rid of get money back in your pocket? Stop having it being stolen from you in the form of taxes, they claim, or your servitude another one, tax man. The IRS, it doesn't need to belong there to do what it's doing to the people. That's a whole other status thing that needs to be developed as well. The Bar Association allowed the encroachment into private people's lives by changing them into, or allowing this whole thing to be changed into a commercial nexus and making it almost impossible to be separate from that, which most of y'all are, actually, if you knew that. Republicans plan to expand the Hatch Act to stop Biden administration censorship collusion. This is on the report here also that this administration allows it. So we get now this partisan kind of attack. This is all a fraud. There's nothing going on here. Although the idea to bring forth some sort of a check is cool, we start to see the politics in the statement. They're all allowing it. They're all allowing this to come on. They've a small contingent maybe of so-called Republicans are doing something in order to out what problems there have been. But I don't see the follow-through in a lot of that. It's more like I see Rand Paul. He says in a tweet, I sent 25 letters out to this, that, and the other to find answers about these COVID, and no one's responding. And I said, well, I responded to him. I said, when does a smart senator stop writing letters? The answer, essentially, to my mind, is that you got to get an answer. That's it. Now what do you do? It was a fraud. Now what? But see, he's a part of it. All these guys are all part of it. And until they start acting different, I'm going to have to say that. He's part of it. He handed Fauci the license to do gain of function on something that doesn't exist naturally. I don't get that. And no one talks about that. No, we talk about other things relative to, the leak. Nonsense. Just nonsense. As if the First Amendment isn't enough, the Republicans in the House, it's not enough, folks. Let me read that again. As if the First Amendment isn't enough, Republicans in the House Oversight Committee plan to introduce two bills aimed at making sure the federal government does not collude with social media platforms to limit free speech under the guise of fighting misinformation. Is that all, folks? Just social media? How about every other aspect of your right to freely speak or to freely acquire? Remember, the rights involved are always both directions. It's not just doing something, it's receiving. In the right to possess property, you have the right to possess it. You have the right to acquire it. So you get to have more. There's no limit to this. So don't ever forget that. It's hard to think in that regard. I see us talk a lot of times in one little area, but the right to free speech is the right to acquire information. Whether we like it or not, we have the right to acquire it, or we have the right to limit that as we will. But that's not determined by the government. Republicans ought not, the First Amendment ought to be enough, and it's not. Tells you, again, I want you to redo the analysis. When the Republicans are doing it, I don't care that they are doing it. It's great if they are, and this is going to go through, and they get this thing done. This is not about partisanship, and it's not about particular administrations. This is that the First Amendment is not being honored. This is that the Fourth Amendment is not being honored. This is that the Fifth Amendment is not being honored. That your presumption of innocence is not being honored. And where are the representatives and all that? Where are the Republicans in this problem? I don't really know, so we just kind of keep talking. But interesting resolve here, apparently. Committee Chair James Comer, a Republican in Kentucky, will introduce a bill that would expand the Hatch Act, a law which prevents federal employees from taking part in political activities in their official roles. Why don't they just get rid of the Modernization Smith-Mundt Act, which allowed the propaganda upon you anyway? If you understand what I'm telling you about not looking for the right thing to do, doing something else that makes good make work, but it doesn't really solve the problem. If they reinforce and enforce accountability, I mean actionable accountability where people go to jail and have to pay time and fines from maybe out of their own pocket, you're going to stop to see the government's not doing this anymore when they aren't allowed to propagandize to you, when they're not allowed to interfere with your acquisition information, however bad it might be. You understand? Okay, great. We go down and we'll expand the Hatch Act. How about if we just get rid of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act and stop propagandizing to us that anyway? That includes information coming and going, or the analysis of whether it is or it is not. They're not supposed to be there. But, okay, Republicans are doing something, I guess, I hope. Is that going to solve it for us? I doubt it. They're not ending. Instead of putting the focus on getting rid of these agencies that are utilizing or getting rid of the funding underneath the so-called law, war of terror, that is actually the war of terror against us, not the war on terror, until we stop that and then start knocking down those authorities that have been built up and removing all these agencies that were built up around and the cancer that came up underneath it, then until we get that we're not going anywhere. All this is make work by the Republicans, for as good as it sounds. We want checks and balances? Sure. But do we add more laws and adjust more laws and to do something when that's not, that adjustment is not the thing we actually need? The Defense Authorization Acts and stuff, why don't we get rid of them? But no, there's a big machine out there and it needs to be fed. Feed the beast. And so we pick around at the edges showing me that we're not really going to get anywhere. Biden administration seeks reauthorization for FISA, a warrantless surveillance of foreigners. And this ties in now back into the CISA, where the Department of Homeland Security is stripping domestic from the word so that they only show foreign surveillance. They can show that all they've been doing, which was actually against you, they now point the record over to the foreigners as the Biden administration seeks the reauthorization of FISA again. Warrantless surveillance. Again, how FBI is doing it, how they get on to us with the Stingray and all this other nonsense. Agencies you wouldn't even be involved with, except ICE. I don't know if you know this. They've stuck you underneath Title 8, which is their naturalization. They think you're a foreigner too, which you are for the United States District, but not to your country. And they've got that all messed up. You're treated through some immigration status. The Biden administration wants to reauthorize a key legal passage allowing U.S. intelligence agencies to spy on foreigners without seeking a warrant. You see how when they clean up, the DHS cleans up the record of domestic, now they can use that. Oh, look at what we're doing. Look at all the harm we've found for years and years and years. And they just don't tell anybody. They remove the word domestic and they say these are the foreign terrorists that have been doing all this. It's actually been you. All these years they've been making up stories, fomenting conditions. taking what used to be just people killing each other in making it a terrorist act. Again, when you look at terrorism, unless those acts are actually affecting the political process, it's not really terrorism. That's one of the elements. There's quite a couple more. So that just because stuff starts happening and it's not good or your power stations go down doesn't necessarily mean it's a terrorist act. That's just what they made up. The Biden-Harris administration strongly supports the reauthorization of Congress of Section 702, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, F-I-C-S-A, and a vital intelligence collection authority, which the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence conveyed today in a joint letter to congressional leadership. And so here they're doing their lobbying. You should too. Whether you have a standing to get in there, I don't know. You're not part of that corporation. That's why your representative has to do it. And then that should have told you something about how little effect you actually have. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan remade that report. Again, national security. That's what they've come under. They want the 702 to continue. They're stripping the record right now to show that they're not doing anything to you. And it's all about you and really nothing else, because there's no real terrorists out there, actually. Oh, yeah, there's people out there, but how many have you actually heard isn't fomented by the government itself? And that's the self-inflicted wound that they continue to feed to people that makes it look like we have a security problem. And I would suggest that no different than the Second Amendment, if we were actually told we don't really have the police to protect us and we had to do it our own, they just admitted to that, we'd probably be a lot safer nation. You wouldn't be seeing anybody coming across the border. And if you weren't beat down when you did try to defend yourself by the government, then likely a lot of this starts to clear up as well. So be careful how simple the answer might ultimately be. Yeah, we're going to have loss of life, but maybe a lot better than loss of country. A lot better, a little bit of life here and there than loss of country, as we are seeing is gone. U.S. State Department, and it's not enough. It's not that they just want the United States. They're going all around the globe to take the world, to take over people. Georgia is now flaring up like Ukraine was. It looks like Madon in 2014. I don't get it. I know I get it exactly. This is exactly what the United States does. It doesn't want peace in the world. United States Department funds UK think tank that aids in censorship of Americans. What's I'm saying here? Well, while the Biden administration said it's just going after foreigners, and while the Republicans are going after Biden's administration for censorship, the administrations just use the State Department to go offshore. This is not even a new thing. So all of this, like I said, all this work doesn't end anything. It doesn't really work. United States Department funds the UK think tank. Appropriation of money, that had to come from Congress. There's your representative again. Are we starting to find out where the culprits are, notwithstanding all a few that might be doing something we think is good? And as I'm identifying for you, it's not that necessarily that good. They focused in on a point. It may not have been the proper point. It certainly doesn't look like it to me. Again, I don't have perfect knowledge. Maybe there's knowledge out there I just haven't been able to figure out that I need. But no one's telling me about that either. And we need that in a way. We need our minds to be working. We need to be able to help support. This is an attack. We need to be able to work ourselves together, not sound as if we're antagonistic to each other, which I know maybe it's a private view. I feel when no one responds to what I write, there's no engagement in a representative, then he thinks that I'm some sort of troll or I'm antagonistic. And I am attempting to give them a lot of power in going in a better direction, or told that there's something I don't know and explained what that is in order for me to redefine what I need to say, what I think I might be able to say, if I have it to say, and re-present that better. Well, we don't get that interaction. It's all one-sided, and that tells you something else. If we were really working together to save ourselves, we wouldn't see the distance, the echo-chambered chasm that's developed in so-called social media that the military is having full control over. And going to get more. Deep fakes, I know I didn't define deep fakes. Deep fakes are the media reconstructions that are so good you cannot tell that they didn't happen. And so they can put somebody in a place saying a thing and you really have a hard time telling. you certainly aren't going to be able to take a cursory view across the internet and know that it was a fake. And that ends up being enough. All they need is that little thought, that question they threw into your mind, whether you ever identify it or not later as a deep fake. That's all they need to get that seed to drop and to cause a question. It's amazing how fast this can really work. How much work it is going the other direction, the thing I've been telling people, maybe why no one really wants to step up. It is a bit work. But if we don't do it, we're losing. There was a war. We're losing it. The United States Department funds UK-based Institute of Strategic Dialogue, ISD, and an organization that partners with platforms to flag misinformation and disinformation. The organization has been accused of classifying conservative viewpoints as hate and disinformation. The hate's, again, that funny, interesting, broad spectrum word that only a few people get to define. And we're going to find those are inside the players, and those are all part of the manipulation process. I won't go through more of this. The State Department gives money to a third-party foreign entity in order to do surveillance and misinformation. So even if the state, the congressmen or the senators want to try to check Biden, that's not going to do anything. The International State Department's already ahead of all this. Again, you go read about all this. It's kind of interesting. It's a shell game. It's one big, giant shell game. And we're losing at it terribly. And so you think this is all working outwardly, that there's no censorship inside with free speech, what I just said, the freedom of getting information, the freedom of giving information, the freedom to decide one way or the other. And then we get this out of a state that's supposedly the freedom state. Florida bill would require bloggers to register with the state to write about elected officials. Now, why would a state actually talk at all about the First Amendment? Anybody speaking about anything, actually, especially in the politics. They tried to focus this in on, well, if you're a lobbyist getting paid, you need to register like a foreign agent type guy or gal. But why would a freedom state have a guy inside making a law that would make you a blogger register because he speaks about elected officials? And then, again, you see the monetary connection. Is the problem. It's all got licensed because of 9/11, the war of terror, that all of a sudden the government has the ability to say, take away everybody's innocence and say, no, you have to be registered because you're a threat. You're a threat just because you exist. Oh, that's Greta. You're a threat just because you exist. You see how consistent all this is? It's the same plan. Why in Florida, a state that's supposed to tout itself as freedom, do we even get this legislation up? Do I like the influence that the lobbyist has, that they get paid lots of money by corporations? No, there's a big problem with all that. But to come up and say that bloggers would register because they get money, when you understand this is all connected through, and typically people need the money to pay for their services a lot of times on the internet. This is the other scam about the internet. It didn't come free, that's for sure. You don't get a voice if you can't pay somewhere, somehow. And you can't maintain what you were talking about unless you can keep the money going. And you're not interfered with by regulations by another third party, your registrars. And that went international as well, if you don't see the trap in all of this. But Florida bill would require bloggers to register. Well, because they want to try and get everybody who's going to be a lobbyist and gets paid to be on a registered roll, which you normally have to do that when you go and lobby the legislatures anyway. They just want to extend that. It sounds like it's reasonable. Somehow this struck me as another affront to freedom in a state that claims to be the freedom state under a governor that was supposedly defending you against the Coby fraud. That never did anything. Who's the Surgeon General there? Complete criminal. Complete denial. Those are another two people. I sent some information. They don't respond. Here's what you did. Here's what you violated. And now can you fix that? No, don't even talk about it. Don't even do a thing about it. No, continue pounding your chest on how free your state is and how little the people have to do in mitigation. And the people buy it up. I'm stunned. And so we get back over into the federal from the state and what seems to, you just know them by what they do. I mean, their deeds. If you think that the representatives that are in Congress are going to stop this surveillance, are going to inhibit this war against you, this weaponization of all agencies because you became a criminal or a terrorist by their determination, then you've got another thing coming when you find out that they're not going to stop or remove the troops from Syrian troops and bring them home. U.S. Congress rejects Syrian troop pullout. Why? We'd have nothing to go do there. Matt Gaetz, again, to his credit, is making these statements. In this case, I'm feeling a little better. This was more of a direct an addressment. But if you get rid of the authorization, the defense authorization, all these guys got to go home and gals have to come home anyway. But Republican Matt Gaetz castigated fellow lawmakers for voting to prolong America's forever wars. And so there's no will. The U.S. rejects the removal of the Syrian troops. U.S. lawmakers have voted down a bill seeking to withdraw all American troops from Syria, opting to continue the years-long military occupation despite repeated objections from the government in Damascus, which has rejected the arms presence as illegal. I won't read any more. This is a disgusting story, another story of the United States government. The United States is actually promoting the terrorists over there under the guise of calling you one home and domestic and getting and stripping all their domestic terrorist information now from the CISA website as they ask for more foreign ability to surveil. All right, all this is coming from all of that. And so we're not going to remove the troops from Syria, the 900 or so that are left. Why? Because they serve a purpose, and it's not a good purpose. It's, again, the lack of peace in the United States government. There's no role for the United States of America in Syria. We are not a Middle East Eastern power. We have tried to build a democracy out of sand, blood, and Arab militias, he said on the floor. Time and again, the work we do does not reduce the chaos. Well, because it's not supposed to reduce chaos. It's supposed to foment chaos. It's supposed to institute terror. And so if you thought that all these surveillance things were going away, when I saw this, I realized, no, none of this is going away. Your life is going to be living under the color of the war of terror, and it's living in the war of terror, as the government says it's the war on terror. You ended up being the terrorist. So the war is on you. And all this happened at the same time that the United States is not pulling out. You know, I haven't talked about it too much. So much to talk about with it. And interesting things as well. The earthquakes that happened over there. Just devastating earthquakes. I don't remember now how many 50, 60,000 people have died there. Syria was affected. But at the same time, where it used to be in my lifetime that the United States would send aid. Now we know, like, USAID was a big trap, and we know the Peace Corps was a big trap. But at any rate, we were at least given the propaganda that we were first Johnny on the spot to help people in the world. The United States cries crocodile tears about the quake's impact on Syria while keeping crushing sanctions in place. This happened weeks and weeks before we find out that they're not going to remove the Syrian troops, so United States troops in Syria. The United States did not help Syria. Their stupid, S-T-O-O-P-I-D, reason was they didn't want to show favor to the Damascus government. No, while people were dying, while people died, while more people were harmed, did not allow any humanitarian aid whatsoever. But they'll pay for more troops to stay in Syria. Shows you what they want to do there. This is not a peaceful condition. This is not one of justice. This is not one of even compassion. The United States will not be lifting its Caesar Act sanctions or other restrictions against Syria following Monday's quakes, State Department spokesman Ned Price indicated. First, I would like to start today by echoing President and the Secretary in expressing our deepest condolences to the people of Turkey and Syria following the devastating earthquake in Kahramanmaraş, in the southeastern Turkey, Price said in a briefing. We stand in solidarity with our allies or partners and the people of Turkey affected by those terrible events. Price clarified that this solidarity doesn't extend to the Syrian government and asked why Washington wasn't ready to coordinate aid with Damascus directly. The spokesman suggested that it would be quite ironic if not counterproductive for us to reach out to a government that was brutalized its people over the course of a dozen years now. Well, they're brutalizing, allowing the people to be brutalized by nature and not helping, and it wasn't, that's just, again, another story. It hasn't been shown that the government of Damascus brutalizes its people, and it can't be brutalizing it anymore with the United States government stealing the oil that those people need, or supporting ISIS in causing more trouble over in that country. Again, we have no business over in the Middle East. We're not a Middle East power, not supposed to be. And all this ends up being, who is it benefiting? It's going to be Israel. And we're going to see that coming on. This has nothing to do with our troops in Syria. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the support for the Israelis. And you see who's running the show in Washington, and it makes perfect sense why Israel wouldn't be helping through the United States want to help the people, the humanitarians in Israel. Look what they're doing to the people in Palestine. The Palestinians are getting the same treatment. Syrian FM, U.S. sanctions prevent delivery of everything to Syria after deadly earthquake. So while we will pay for the money to keep troops to antagonize that area and keep not bring peace, we also won't provide, we will continue to hurt people with sanctions and not show any kind of humanitarian aid. Remember, the United States did not have to send it directly. They could have sent it indirectly. We're seeing a lot of that game being played right now. That's how the United States is playing Ukraine. Oh, we're not doing any of it. No, it's coming through other people. In fact, the latest story about this Nord Stream is, it wasn't even the Ukraine government that did it. Well, they know how to play that game when they need to, but they're not playing it here. U.S. sanctions prevent delivery of everything to Syria after deadly quake. There is no humanitarian exemption. None. There's no mind to say that you're not helping the government when you help their people. But in fact, every other part of the globe is exactly what goes on. The only place I've noticed you see that logic, if it's logic at all, the crime against people is Israel. Israel justifies its ability to act and your inability to act in the same breath. And they have no justification for any of it. None. So that's what kind of keeps ringing to my mind. Why would we pay money to keep troops to cause torment and not actually help people over there, unless that's the plan? And it's not our plan. It's not the United States' plan. We have actors inside the United States government that are what appear to be dual allegiance. And that seems to be answer more of the problem, the problems that we see, than anything else I've been able to find. Pentagon makes Iran nuclear prediction. So here we have, as we go on, and why I bring this into Israel, and why we keep moving on, the Pentagon is going to keep its troops. And then we also hear the Pentagon makes Iran nuclear prediction. Again, we're predicting the predictive of the future. We're going to vilify somebody. Now, Iran's already been on the table. This is not new. But we're watching the drumbeat and shift from Ukraine on over to the Middle East again to focus in on Iran. Or Iran, excuse me, for those of you that took offense. Tehran's breakthrough time has shrunk to less than 2 weeks, according to a U.S. official, relative to the uranium that they're making. They're up to pretty high levels, I understand, in their purifications, but not actually to weapons grade. They're getting closer. But here's the Pentagon makes the Iran nuclear prediction clock, again, trying to foment this idea. This has been going on for decades and decades as they do this. This usually comes from Israel. And so, again, the mouthpiece of the United States is, again, business like this puppet to this little pipsqueak that really has no other say, has no actual real good policy but to harm and hurt people. Iran would need just 12 days to make enough uranium for an atomic bomb, depending on its top policy. So I just want to point out, the United States got out of the JCPOA. Okay, so Iran never did that. So this is another self-inflicted wound, and we can see the future in, as I said before, this is the future. They're setting this up so that they can use the Iran as a scapegoat. So however it is that they may actually be a danger, they are not this danger, and where other countries have the ability to produce nuclear power, it is being deprived, no different. If you, when you see the cereal being deprived of even the most basic humanitarian aid to help quake victims, you realize how heinous these mentalities are that are making this stuff up. Iranian FM reveals nuclear signals from U.S. So the moving the NATO again on over as you expand the world of war. The United States has been starting to do that, and here we see much more relative to the nuclear, what they call the nuclear threat, which again was created by the United States in not staying in an agreement. That was, I think, Trump did that. So it's not just even Biden. Agreement with the United States is possible if Washington behaves realistically, says the representative of Iran. The United States has signaled that it is ready to engage with Tehran with a view to reviving the landmark 2015 nuclear deal. Iran Foreign Minister Hussein Amar Abdollahian said on Sunday, noting that its settlement must respect the Islamic Republic's red lines. And so here we have again, every nation has its borders. They've always been Iran, and this is the thing that always astounds me. Iran has always said that they didn't want to get out of the agreement. They liked the agreement. It helped them out a lot. They gave everybody a way to keep everybody safe and sane, and the United States unilaterally pulled out. It's never been Iran's problem. But now everyone notices, and this is what Russia started, the bully in the world doesn't need to be cowed to. And nations will have to have self-respect, and so they're now holding the so-called red lines. And when the United States wants to start recognizing that sovereignty in other nations and other sovereigns, then they will engage. And so this is, you're watching another thing moving along relative to the nation standing up for themselves. And that's not going to, usually doesn't play well with a bully, but the bully isn't the United States here. It's actually Israel. And so the drums are being beat right now. The Israelis are itching for some sort of a fight. And an interesting statement pops up right now, which I thought was pretty, it's a big promotion. He doesn't suggest here what the horrible war, who would be on the receiving end of that horrible war, or by whom. But Netanyahu says, a horrible nuclear war will break out if Iran isn't stopped. Now, there's no evidence of it's being started at all. Nothing started. They are fomenting an idea that Iran is doing something outside of its peaceful agenda. And all these nations have the right to declare that. And they have. And there hasn't been any evidence to the contrary. What there is these threats, Pentagon's estimates, and it never comes out. But Netanyahu now is beating the drum. And remember, all this is at the same time if you look carefully, the Congress of the United States isn't so set in not giving the appropriations to military. In fact, I think it was Biden just signed a big, giant military bill here. I guess he had authorization. The largest that's ever been done. So, again, when you didn't see the Syrian troops pulled, there was no reason to, they didn't see any good reason to pull it. You know they're going to continue the war of terror on the world. Netanyahu gave an interview to Iran International, who intend on dubbing it into Persian and broadcasting it, as he said, a horrible nuclear war will break out. Well, that's kind of a nondescript discussion on who would start that war. A horrible war will break out if the world does not stop Tehran from obtaining atomic weapons. Netanyahu said in his first address to the Iranian people on Thursday night, if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, this will be a problem all of us will face. It will change the world, he said in an English language interview with Washington-based Iran International that has also dubbed it into Persian. A nuclear Iran will cause, quote, the crisscrossing of the Middle East with nuclear tripwires as other regimes who understand the danger of a nuclear Iran will rush to arm themselves, Netanyahu said, using the platform to urge global action in response to Iran's enrichment of uranium to 84%, which is close to the 90% weapons grade. Let me go back. This crisscrossing of a nuclear tripwires wouldn't exist if Israel didn't have those first. There's no tripwires in Middle East. And so I don't see how this guy can come up and say that Iran's a threat when Israel is the threat. And they deny it. And then they claim some right to, in order to defend themselves against something that no one else has. And they shouldn't have. And he goes on and he gives his political statement. He says, those who say, well, if we take action against Iran, we will face war. You will face war if you don't. A potentially horrible nuclear war if you don't. So what's wrong with that statement? The United States was in the prime place to check all that in 2015, and they decided not to. And now somehow they're wanting to get themselves back in, and Iran's saying, well, you're going to have to listen to our sovereignty problems. One of our sovereignty problems is this little place who denies they have nuclear tripwires laid everywhere. And so we hear the beating of the drum of nuclear wars. We move the focus over to Iran. The propaganda machine of the West is such that Iran's the problem. The United States had every power to put that in check in 2015 and walked away from it. And so this is, again, the setting up of a condition. It's despicable. Unusual suspects among arrested domestic terrorists. So now we get the word domestic terrorist back in the vernacular of the United States, of a United States event. The same thing the CIA website is scrubbing. An attorney with the FBI advising SPLC has been accused of taking part in the Treehouse Antifa riot. Did you hear that, folks? Southern Poverty Law Center attorney was involved in that riot that went on in Atlanta. Among arrested domestic terrorists, the FBI calls. Is that maybe why part of those domestic terrorists are being scrubbed? FBI advising SPLC is one of the agents that the FBI uses to come focusing on you. I also found interest, okay, well, if the SPLC has an attorney that's a domestic terrorist, that's in domestic terrorism, did that meet the ADL's list of getting rid of that organization? Well, no, it didn't. And these are two advocates of Zionism, these two organizations, and they create what they argue the definition for what is hate and terrorism. And within their ranks are these people. And until we come to terms with the deception that all of this is, and that the FBI at all uses these people, as they move a perception management along to give the Zionist position a better foothold, to put us under threat, call our people domestic terrorists, to utilize the things they use to impose the trip lines and then complain about them in other countries. But we have those trip lines that they create here, maybe not nuclear, but just as harmful. The FBI using the SPLC and having their attorneys, bar members, right, involved in all this, has to have some scrutiny put on it. That ADL hasn't condemned the SPLC shows they're working together. ADL report advocates for deplatforming at website infrastructure level. So the ADL has the capacity to get rid of the websites too. No, the ADL is only focused on right-wing stuff that they claim to be terrorist and hate stuff. They don't look at the so-called left, which most likely has the Zionist elements in it as well, on top of others. And just sheer stupidity on top of it all. A new report by the ADL Anti-Defamation League said pressuring online platforms and other internet services to remove those it deems to be far-right extremists is effective in limiting their reach. Well, how about if we limit the reach of the SPLC, ADL? Identify that they have agents inside their ranks, which are terrorists. The FBI is utilizing those terrorists to be terrorists. Well, you start running this thing back of where all this information, as I was telling you before, and lots of people who know who do the study, the FBI foments this stuff. Here's the source. This isn't even the first story about these attorneys that are involved in these organizations that are doing domestic terrorism. Again, they define, these agencies and organizations define for themselves the nail that they're going to hammer. And I've seen it firsthand with the FBI, or the Mighty District saw it firsthand. I've seen it with the post office. They refer to the FBI when anybody in the government wants to abuse you, they just give you a name. Then you better be able to come back at them to show how that was all wrong. And then what happens? No remedy, no relief. It's a record that you met and neutralized, but you didn't get a relief from the defamation. Anti-defamation league? Far from it. Going after SPLC? Highly unlikely. Even though they have so-called domestic terrorists that are not on the right. They don't look at that. But this is the information warfare that's going on that the FBI resorts to, that the Congress is allowing when it doesn't start defunding and getting rid of these things and removing all of the stuff that happened in 9/11. If they can't admit to the Kobe swindle, I just don't see how they're going to admit to the 9/11 war of terror swindle. It's too much control, too much profit. They have moved this country, the United States of America, over into a tyranny that is going to be almost unstoppable. And I say that with a little bit of hesitation to go further about saying I think it's almost unstoppable. Almost. But I don't know that that's a guarantee. We lost. Lincoln showed us we lost. We the people can lose. Now, this information that's going on between this Zionist promoting, social controlling, defining, socially defining actions by people in foreign countries by the Zionists, maybe slowly moving out and finding a problem for itself. And I'm not going to say so much about that this is a real report more than a statement, but it may show some weakening of what's going on. And I'm hoping there's a weakening to break people's mentality about their influence in this country relative to what's going on here, as we see a different country looking at the Israeli regime and saying that the problems that we're seeing developing since Netanyahu got in, and they're far right. Nakam far right there in Israel is not denounced by the ADL as well, interestingly. But unfolding developments suggest imminent collapse of Israel regime, Hezbollah chief says. Now, I don't know if I'm going to put too much meaning on that rhetoric that goes on there, but they are having a lot of strife. And there's a focus now turning to the world. And I think it's just, if we could just look at that as an example of what has to happen. Our focus has to turn like lasers onto certain problems, core problems in our country, United States of America, and elsewhere too, not just our country. And I don't mean just like the farmers get beat up in the Netherlands. I mean, there has to be a lot better addressing of these things. But there's strife building within the context of the Zionist state that is being reflected in their own neck of the woods, that another leader comes forward to suggest that it's going to destabilize that place. The further look at the world from the world we have is recognizing a lot of this, that it's not true. It comes as a psychopath in the world. It comes with ill intent. It comes without constraint. It comes without check or balance itself. The people that represent themselves as a nation, as a state of Israel, they have claimed things that they will not extend to others, that in an international sense are totally an abhorrent condition. And people in other nations are taking notice. South Africa's parliament votes in favor of downgrading ties with Israeli regime. So while the stuff is rising now up for people to see, I suggested to you that Russia set the example that nations will have to stand up and be their own statement, their own defense, be their own sovereignty. It's starting to happen a little bit more here that I reported a little bit about this, but it went through the South African parliament voted in favor of downgrading the country's relations with the Israeli regime in solidarity with the Palestinians. And so this is what also the Hezbollah chief is saying here relative to that. The Palestinian the course of the developments of the occupied Palestine indicates the Zionists are moving toward a downfall and collapse. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but people are starting to notice the strife is tearing things apart. There's no consistency. There's a group of people in the world that literally think they're the chosen ones, and I haven't found evidence of it, but they think that, and that's all it takes. That it's okay for them to cause strife. It's okay to invade a country and become over-representative in its administrations of government, in leading with all of its, changing its laws, in its legal proceedings, its judicial departments. This mentality is going throughout the world. And it doesn't have a basis in law anymore. And at some point, people are just going to be sick up and fed with it. Apparently, the South Africa is not putting up with it no more. All that can happen is that people stop, again, engaging with it. It's going to be real hard when the United States is going to be consistent with allowing its name to be used and threaten other nations that nation believes is a threat to it. Even though it hasn't shown itself, it hasn't made an international commitment to be anybody in the world. Just that it's there is not sufficient. And it put itself in the middle of a bunch of people that had no other thought. And then it claims a problem. Abject victimization and victimhood. Impressive. Has no right to any of it. And so this country, the United States, instead of doing diplomatic kind of things, it goes and attacks people, nations economically. U.S. Senator threatens Brazil with crippling sanctions. And this is, again, these people that present themselves to the United States as someone that is American way, when in fact it's all just supporting self-inflicted wounds. And if we would stop meddling in places and become more diplomatic, maybe this wouldn't have to be a problem. We wouldn't be forcing people, nations, to do different alliances. We wouldn't be causing domestic terrorism in their countries, trying to destabilize their political process that causes all this trouble. Ted Cruz was furious with Iranian warships docked in Rio de Janeiro over American objections. Well, so he was upset because a country dared to not listen to an American objection? Well, what happened in Brazil? They tossed out the guy who would have been conducive with the United States. The people, supposedly, we don't know, it looks like there was a big election problem there too. They put someone else who's not so conducive to the United States, who has no problem with doing business with other countries such as Iran. And yet we get Ted Cruz thumping his chest about how much they were going to put sanctions on Brazil. Well, guess what? It's just driving another wedge. Brazil's part of BRICS. Where do you think that's going to go? Washington should sanction everyone of having anything to do with the visits of two Iranian warships to Brazil, Senator Ted Cruz said on Tuesday, declaring the visit a direct threat to the safety and security of Americans. I'm going to say the direct threat to the safety and security of Americans was allowing 9/11 to happen and to allow the laws of the PATRIOT Act to happen and to continue underneath the fraud that it has become. That's what's causing a lot of this. Dropping all diplomacy in favor of a club, of lying on nations, of not agreeing to agree where we could agree, is what's really the threat. And there's no threat to Americans either. What is Brazil going to do? What are some boats in Iran visiting Brazil going to really do to the United States? Just seems like a big policy mismanagement to my mind. And it seems that the other nations like Russia and China are picking that up a lot better all of a sudden. They've figured something out. And they're the ones, they've been doing this. It's not even brand new, but it's coming more to the fore. That's the policies that China and Russia are doing in order to embrace all these nations now. When you're going to go around the world sanctioning everybody because they don't agree with you, eventually all those nations that you've sanctioned are just going to team up and they're going to do their own business, it seems. And it seems. So this is Ted Cruz going to pound on your patriotic chest that he's actually driving these nations to do what they will do away from the United States. So now moving into, going back into the what I was talking about just a little bit earlier, the Nord Stream, the pounding on chest, the blaming of other, the knowledge that the United States can use surrogates in order to create a fantasy that is really hard to pin down unless you realize it's a fantasy, and then it's not hard, you know, there's nothing to pin down. It's the deception that it is. While the United States would show itself in the world to be not trustable, and there's lots of stories now coming that that's the case. And nations are starting to respond to that, no different than they're responding against Israel and the inconsistencies and incongruities that, that come out of that place and how it influences the United States nation to do under, not, if you look underneath, underneath the stories, even in Ukraine, there's an influence there that's project that's going on. But Lula over in Brazil says, oh, go ahead and bring your warships over and come and dock. Which, in a regard, is kind of interesting, because that just gave the Iranians wanted supplies. So that was just, that was a good production move, it seemed to me. Sell some of your supplies to the Iranians. But at the same time that that was happening, this story about Nord Stream was going on. The United States, the only real country able to pull this thing together, again, with help, like NATO, was denying all this stuff. The September 26th, 2022 bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline deep beneath the Baltic Sea released more methane gas in the atmosphere than any other previous industrial disaster. The lead story on this talking about the pollution, if you will, the climate change gases, the greenhouse gases that were put in. But this story is attached, and I find it interesting how they started that, because this was attached to a story that's been coming out now relative to the blame game, they call it here. The United States Intel tells New York Times pro-Ukrainian group behind Nord Stream bombing. So here we have the proof in the title. The governments know to use surrogates. But in this case, the pro-Ukrainian group kind of got me thinking, well, isn't the United States a pro-Ukrainian group? Is it Britain a pro-Ukrainian group? Is it Norway a pro-Ukrainian group? But we could throw these euphemisms out there, or we could start staying focused on what's going on. There's a report that came out by the New York Times, again, the mouthpiece of the government on propaganda, coming out to tell us that it wasn't anybody but a pro-Ukrainian group that somehow got a hold of a yacht that came from Poland and did this thing to the Nord Stream pipeline, in a way totally ludicrous. To cut this short, there's quite a few links about how this works. You have to pay attention to watch the bouncing ball. The report comes out by Germany. Very interestingly, and another link will come down the road, that once this story popped out by New York Times, it was then reported by Germany, but then the German chancellor comes out and said, well, this is just hypothetical. So now we see the writing on the wall here. The pro-Ukrainian group means nothing. They say that six people did it, to five men and a woman. Highly technical dive. The problem with the story is as Germany is reporting it, two things came to my mind. One is they never get the boat over the pipeline where Hirsch does, because here's the challenge. They're trying to challenge Seymour Hirsch's story. And it's okay, we can challenge Seymour Hirsch, but we better have better facts. They get a boat, a yacht that was picked up and brought there in one of the most controlled waterways I can imagine relative to those pipelines and the militaries of all the nations. And they never get it over the pipeline. They get it to an island nearby, first of all. Secondly, when Germany found that boat, they did a check, and in the cabin, they just happened to find the explosive, some explosive residue. Well, I don't know about you, but it took a whole lot more than a residue in a cabin of explosives to blow those pipelines up. You're not going to find it in a cabin. So the story stopped holding water for me real quick. The problem is this is what's coming now out to try and move the keep the attention off of who really had the capacity to do so and what was being said months and months before relative to the United States administration. But none of this starts to add up. So I don't know, I've got quite a few tabs, I don't know how much I want to put on this, but I want us to see the United States that will allow, again, this is an attack on a NATO nation that the United States has decided not to investigate, and yet you'll just see that the United States has an opinion. And this little theme kind of moves along all the time. They shouldn't have an opinion. Guess who's paying attention to that? Russia. And so this is not lending itself, again, to credibility. You're dealing with a war in a situation, potentially nuclear, over there in Ukraine, and you have the United States government not dealing fairly and honestly with things, and then expecting another nation to agree with it, to enter into dialogue with it, and come to some negotiation. The same negotiations that, you know, the Russia was involved in, that it was duped by these same countries, is a very dangerous tack to be taking. I cannot, again, New York Times, done. They, if we didn't see it before, they're done. This is referring to undetermined people making stories that can't hold water, don't have evidence of it, after Germany did some investigation, and they won't divulge the evidence of some of it even. My takeaway was Seymour Hersh has a military boat over a pipeline doing a drill for anti-demining over the time, at the time of the setup for that. The CIA is saying you're going to have a, they're telling Germany you're going to have an explosion. What are they now admitting? They knew of the Ukrainians that bought the yacht, that got it sailing for 3 hours to an island. So all this is not gelling so well for the United States. Biden saying those pipelines are done. They're not going to survive. U.S. spies say pro-Ukrainian group bombed Nord Stream. U.S. spies. Anonymous agents cited unspecified intelligence to deny U.S. responsibility for the pipeline attack. Why are they denying it if the United States hasn't done an investigation? How do they not know a rogue element in the United States military, Navy, whatever, caused this? You think they'd want to know? No, they're just going to say it didn't happen. So, without an investigation, no credibility whatsoever. Vessel linked with Nord Stream sabotage discovered is where the German authorities, and a German outlet reported that the German authorities had found it was Ukrainians who had bought the boat from a Ukrainian-owned Polish business who happened to take a three-hour tour, apparently, enough to pull this thing all off. Highly technical dive, I can't imagine. The rebreathers and the training and the dealing with the explosives and then the timing and the sonic boom. How about the P-8? How did that sonic buoy get put in the water just in time? The yacht allegedly belongs, everything's allegedly. We already have the information that Germany's saying this is hypothetical. So all this is done in order to keep the lie moving, I guess, is the only thing. I keep focusing on this lie. I don't know why the United States lying like this, having a say and not having any say, is just beyond when we're dealing with such heightened dangers in the world. The other thing that reflects back to me again is if they're doing it over to countries that have the technology, have the expertise to figure this out, they're doing it to you, and they've done it to you, and we the people have a big problem. It's not just the attack over there and all this noise that's going on about this pipeline. That was a terroristic act done by a terroristic state. And that's whether I said at the time whether we could really ever find that out. I was shocked that there was no evidence. There was no patrolling boat there to get any evidence is astonishing to me. And yet we do have, apparently, a boat sitting over the top of the pipeline that was there. And why it could be there. A schooner, a yacht could not be over that pipeline doing any kind of activity without scrutiny. A military drill programmed to be there could, is the other angle. There's so many different points about this. The vessel link, they found a vessel. Okay, well, we got evidence, right? Well, it just doesn't hold water. It doesn't hold position. It doesn't hold time. Just because a boat went through a water on a three-hour tour doesn't mean it had the ability or the capacity or the intent to do anything. It could very well be the cover that is going on as the claims of Ukrainian link to Nord Stream sabotage, hypothetical. Germany comes out and says that. Oh, the otherwise tight-lipped minister says it's a hypothetical situation. We don't have all the proof. And if you notice, there's so many hesitations. They're alleged. They think it's going on. They might have occurred, may have come up. What's actually confirmed? Yeah, what is? I don't know that anybody has any real good evidence. And that's going to be the genius behind how this thing worked out. And I wonder whether or not Russia is just sitting as a victim to it as well. And I think that's one of Russia's blind spots. I think it's proper to agree with international law, as we would have thought in its ideal sense, but we're not in that world anymore, and they're getting caught flat-footed about how that works. Nonetheless, the United States is doing it, and there's people being hurt and died, and populations are being destroyed, and population politics is being done, rights are being, property is being destroyed, controls are being put on people without their ability to defend themselves. And it all ends up being what? A military-industrial complex, or it becomes the production complex of energy and these kinds of things. A German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius has dodged a question about how the Nord Stream sabotage case could influence Western military aid for Kiev if it turns out that pro-Ukrainian groups were behind the Russian gas pipeline blast. But see, that's a set-up question to advance that this was even a possibility. The only thing pro-Ukrainian group I understand would be the nations, the United States, the UK, Europe. That's the only ones I can see. We're not talking about some non-governmental organization necessarily. And what if I'm wrong? What if it's just this little band of a three-hour tour that did it? Where's the United States to protect NATO? This was an attack on NATO. And so we're not hearing that. We're not hearing anything. And yet the CIA knew about it before. What'd they know? What'd they know? We see the spies talking about all this stuff. U.S. spies are talking about all this. Pro-Ukrainian group. Where did that information happen? And who did they know before that happened? When they told Germany you expect to lose your pipeline. Nord Stream explosion. Ukraine denies it involved in bombing pipeline, deepening mystery over blast. Well, not actually. This is, I think, you're protesting too much. The story's never said Ukraine was involved. The story says of Ukrainian, pro-Ukrainian group. Ukraine didn't have to speak. That they spoke was enough here to say this is a story. There was never an indication that Ukraine was involved. In fact, all the stories were coming out. They were specifically not involved in the United States was not involved. Britain, why Britain was not involved? What connection did they have? Well, early on, see, that's what I went down. And then we found out Norway maybe instead, and how we not know in the background they're not all working, as we found out UK was involved in the Crimea bridge blow up and quite a few other destructive acts. We don't know the players in behind doing the plans. But as we saw the story, Ukraine coming out, well, we didn't do it. We deny. They didn't have to deny. Too much information from Ukraine. This is a story. New Nord Stream story reports look like coordinated hoax is being identified by Moscow. They are too integrated at all one time to not be actual. And there's no proof. There's no actual evidence in any of this. This is the one thing I'm noticing. You'd think someone would put anything, in any subject matter we're talking, give us some proof. You never see it. Well, what you see is cookbooks, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Kremlin believes that the claims of the Ukrainian involvement are an attempt to deflect attention. Well, I would have to say, of course. There's no facts laid down in order to give any direction, and Germany said it was hypothetical. What they come up with, that's the best they can do is hypothetical. Pathetic, I guess I should say. Pathetic. You folks in Germany, maybe it's time to oust all that. Just get rid of it. Time, people, oust your governments. Start fresh. I don't know how you're going to start fresh, but start fresh. It seems the cancers are inside the people, so I'm not sure how to get rid of that part. But Russia is looking at this as a coordinated hoax. And they were started through the propaganda machine of the New York Times as fed by your so-called spies. That told Germany ahead of time, were told, that they were going to lose their pipeline. But apparently it's a pro-Ukrainian group that they knew was going to do it. But not. You understand it's not. It's just with the story that's rolling out. Kremlin, new reports on Nord Stream attacks are part of a coordinated disinformation campaign. I know it sounds like here, maybe it is a little bit the same story. I just wanted to point out again, misinformation, disinformation campaigns, this is cognitive warfare, and this is what the United States does. All the countries do it, but they, the United States is particularly adept at what they've been doing. And so I just wanted to, just for the word disinformation campaign, while they're looking to interfere with all your internet and battlefield of things to get you propagandized, they don't want, they are willing to make their own disinformation campaign, which they're going to go through the same conduit of information back to you. And so we see the evidence in, on the international scene, what they're doing to you locally, what they want to do to you in your house. Or wherever you are, whatever connection you have going on. Leaks about Nord Stream terrorist attack designed to hide truth, a Russian embassy. Of course, all these deceptions would, and they're not meant to move it forward. I just wanted to bring some of these links forward that we point out in their statement here, an important view of why this thing becomes so dangerous. We have no faith in the impartiality of the conclusions of the United States intelligence. We perceive anonymous leaks as nothing more than an attempt to confuse those who are sincerely trying to get to the bottom of the things in this egregious crime, shift the blame from the statesman who ordered and coordinated the attacks in the Baltic Sea to some abstract individuals, Led Denev said in a statement posted in the Russian embassy's Telegram channel. There is no, in Russia, there's no faith, good faith, there's no faith, there's no belief, and there's no, that there's any impartiality in any of the conclusions in the United States, what the United States issues. And so when you're dealing with a potential nuclear condition and or a war and people dying and the escalation of NATO and the United States troops going in, the Russians cannot hear anything the United States has said that it can trust. And the United States has done that. Where the United States believes it can go with that is going to have to be explained to me a little bit clearer, because I ain't seeing it. That's what I said, ain't. I ain't seeing it. And this is just one of those things, you're growing up, statesman, diplomat, this is how we make the world go peace, and we're not seeing none of that is really a crippler to me. How the world united, how the world has allowed the United States to continue to do this is only explained that they've allowed Israel the same condition until just recently, and now we're taking some steps, but it's still weak. The bullies in the world seem to get away with things until they're literally punched in the nose and stopped. And you're not going to get it by Germany coming out and saying, oh, well, we found, our investigation of the vessel we found is all hypothetical. What? What? Really? That's all you got? That's all you got. Well, at least Seymour Hersh has a military ship sitting over a pipeline with the capacity to blow it up, and no one would have stopped that when they saw the inspection tours by the other companies went by. They wouldn't have invaded that little space at all, like they would have had there been a yacht sitting over the top of that. So, another to my mind, Seymour Hersh still has it until we get better than hypothetical from Germany and get the United States out of the way. None of this information should have come from the United States where it wasn't doing an investigation and bringing evidence. And then we see the telegraphing of the action going on, and then the CIA's telling Germany, well, your hypothetical is going to be real here real soon, but they did that before it happened. Russia, UN envoy, world without accountability for Nord Stream blasts would be very dangerous place. They're coming back to repeat this, folks. This is the problem. When there's no accountability to crime like this, and they're at peer level, national peer level power structures, this becomes a very serious problem. And Russia's just letting everybody know. I think they're a victim to this lack of accountability, as everybody else. When I said watch Russia, what Russia does, watch how helpless it is, too. Where it's helpless, you're helpless. But we don't have accountability. We're a helpless people. It's been my main problem with looking at the world of the United States anymore, that for all the laws I see that are going on, for all the justice and liberty there is, when you get down to trying to get relief for an oppression against you, for a crime against you, for a property theft against you, that's just a general people-to-people one, and you don't have remedy, you're in trouble. When the government's doing it, you don't have remedy, that's treason. That's usurpation. You don't live in your country that you thought. When you do it with a continuity of government excuse, you're living in an abject military state. And we're not stopping any level of it. Russia, here we go, keep going. Without accountability, Russia has no reason to believe the findings presented by such an honest investigator as Seymour Hersh regarding U.S. involvement in the Nord Stream sabotage last September, Dmitry Polyansky told Sputnik, underscoring that a new intelligence reviewed by unnamed U.S. officials only confirms the necessity of conducting an international probe. Again, the United States should have never spoke. The Russians cannot do it, but the problem is that this is an obstruction of accountability. And I've been telling you, if whatever you see another nation having to deal with in the United States is going to be what you have to deal with against the United States, and or the state, since we're that bifurcated federalism. Lavrov says UN chief avoiding giving any reaction on Nord Stream pipelines. First, on this point, my mind said, well, why would he? They're so far out of the mix of the investigations, they wouldn't really have a say. But the point about his point here to the next step is they're not even interested. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and his staff have been avoiding responding to questions related to journalistic investigations into Nord Stream explosions and the West's stance concerning the issue, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said on Thursday. So they're not addressing the problems where the potential culprits are actually getting themselves involved. And the press, see, the nation, this is not coming from Russia. This is a question from from a nation about the mistreatment of journalistic inquiry. So understand the diplomatic tack-taking here. This is very interesting stuff that you actually start to watch. How governments can use surrogates in order to get to the point and make a point without making a statement themselves. They take no position. But it's a very interesting tools to learn as you go through and watch this to be able, if you never use them yourself, but to observe. And so they always give themselves a position to have a discussion. He's now bringing up the UN. If you're here as a security state for the whole world, where are you? When the journalists ask you questions, why do you avoid an answer? And I think one of the things is there needs to be this investigation. If you can't bring accountability, then what's the purpose of it all? And if Russia goes there again, you're not going to be dealing with, there's nothing to deal with in Russia. Russia's going to do, they've already determined it's an existential threat, what's going on. All they're doing is pointing out all the failures. And that's another way to make a record of futility that can't rely on anything but what it's doing. This is exactly what I've been asking you all to do. Where you find a problem against you, exhaust all your remedies, show that they're either there, done, and didn't fulfill it, or futile, and now we move to the next level. And until you do, you're not, there's no authority that might be an authority that would look at that. It will look at you. You become premature. You become the title they get to give someone to vilify you. And this is what I say when going against, you make a request that the post office deliver the mail like it's supposed to, and they come back and call you a terrorist, then you know you had a problem with the postmaster. Shock, folks. One of the highest, supposed to be the most honorable offices in the whole nation. One of the first reasons why you have a nation is your post office. And it comes back and names, because you ask it to do the job it was duty-bound to do, it tells you that you're the terrorist. You're not living in that country that you thought anymore. But you have to respond to that. And you have to have the proper response. And then they go quiet. And now you have your balancing record. Does that give you accountability? No. Your letter doesn't get where it belongs. No, you start to watch that you don't have that communication system in your nation anymore. And it's a very important one. So Russia is going to making its public record. It's going to call out what's going on. That's about all I think it can do. I think it's a victim of this bullying, of this lack of honesty and integrity. I think we all are. When you have a criminal you cannot arrest, you're going to be finding yourself in this position. So look again here, again, over and over. Russia is an example to us for lots of reasons in lots of ways. I don't have to agree with Russia. I don't have to agree with their position, why or whatever. I just look at how the interaction in the world is. And I can take a lot of lesson from what's happening, especially when I'm suffering where I'm at relative to the same government that's oppressing them. Yet they come here and they lie to us that they're doing it for us. And in fact, they took that away when they called you that same terrorist years and decades ago. So making the record, that's what you saw, you can see Russia doing all the time. U.S. preparing false flag chemical attacks in Ukraine. As they set this thing up, they realize that this, again, covering the issue, the terrorism, the terroristic act that has been shown not to be Russia, had to be some other actor blowing up the pipelines, the terroristic act. They're also now pointing out the United States is capable of doing more terroristic acts. The Americans believe a provocation won't be properly investigated due to the fighting, the Russian military alleges, and that's their problem with the accountability over Nord Stream. There's no investigation. There's no disinterested investigation. But we have a problem in the world. We have a problem locally for our people. We're not going to get those investigations. They're just not going to happen. And they are needed in order to find out who the real culprits are to bring accountability. And so Russia sees they're a victim to this provocative nature the United States has become. U.S. is preparing to stage a false flag chemical attack in Ukraine to pin the blame on Moscow for the use of a banned toxic agents. The chief of Russia's nuclear, biological, and chemical defense troops, Igor Kirillov, has said. Remember now, they also have video where the Ukrainians are actually using drones to drop chemical weapons gas on the Russian troops and killing them. It's supposed to be totally prohibited, supposed to be totally war crime, but no, it just keeps going, and there's no real accountability. You have to watch as this stuff is being used, and I guess you hope you survive it, or you take measures around it. The point is there's no accountability, and this is what I get back. There's no accountability for Israel. They claim that there's nuclear triggers all over there. Well, remove yours first, and maybe we'll remove all the triggers. That would be nice, and allow people to have nuclear power. Like everybody else does, instead of claiming it, also create these conditions that are triggers for other things, and then claim that you're doing some kind of defense for democracy. I don't see how you can lie and represent a democracy either. That's, I guess, the main thing here. Right? There's supposed to be a false flag developing here. They were also talking about where they came in, how they figured it out. This also poses a problem. How do you interdict that? You don't blow that one up. It'll spread that stuff around. Then you are doing the problem. So you watch, again, Russia is a victim to the criminal acts of the West. Attempt to pin down Nord Stream bombing on Ukraine shows Biden ready to drop Kiev. Now, this is what I want to get back to. I was talking about Iran. We are watching a potential dropping, and I don't know how to what degree. At some point, the acknowledgement of the failure and the lack of inroad to what they thought they were going to do about Russia is going to be coming to roost. NATO is turning its attention to China and Iran. This story came up as a thought. This is an opinion. The attempts to pin Nord Stream bombing on Ukraine shows Biden ready to drop Kiev. They're setting up, this is the other astonishing thing, that they would actually agree to pin it on a pro-Ukrainian group. That would bring Ukraine into disfavor, Zelensky. So this was an interesting observation written right after it. I'm not so sure that the title is correct in that the Ukraine, it wasn't, if you read the documentation, it wasn't Ukraine, the government of Ukraine that did it. It was a pro-Ukrainian group. And so Ukraine, that's what I said, never was I implicated at all, ever. As was denied the United States and UK in the dialogue. So this story is a little bit off, but it's interesting take on maybe the disfavor is coming and they are shifting. All this information I brought up about Iran and the drumming of the nuclear war there, the nuclear threat there, is this potential pivot starting as they soften the support for Kiev and Zelensky, who then comes out and threatens unsupportive Americans with whatever, I guess. He says if you can't support me, you got to, it's like stopping NATO. I say lose NATO, just lose it, and we'll be much better off. The Ukrainian leader alleges the U.S. would lose its influence in the world if it stopped backing Kiev. Well, it's losing its influence in the world because of Kiev. And so we see that, again, perception management going on. But he came out, Zelensky came out, and threatened y'all. It's not good enough that the representatives are giving him all the money, and Biden's giving him all this money, and the military's giving him all this money and material, fomenting something they have no right to do. No, he's going to come and tell you that you're no good. If they do not change their opinion, y'all, they will lose NATO. They will lose the clout of the United States, and they will lose the leadership position they are enjoying in the world. Folks, I'm going to look at that leadership position. Do you really want to maintain that when everyone's running from it? I think it's time to lose NATO. I think Europe needs to lose NATO. And I think if they have a defense pact to do, it's time to make a new one. Where they're not attacked by their own members. And this is the thing that's coming to roost about how all this is working out. So because the presentation to the support for Zelensky is waning a bit, and that other story says there may have been a reason why they're blaming it on Ukraine, the view is turning away. He comes out and blames you for not supporting your representative to give him more money. And then he threatens everybody with the loss of NATO, and I said, good. We just need, maybe that's a good, start promoting we don't need NATO. Lose NATO. U.S. Nord Stream sabotage may cause countries to quit NATO, says Seymour Hersh. Now, the natural consequence, Seymour Hersh starts to investigate this as well. He says he's going to write even some more. He says it's now happening that there's no support in NATO because of the position it's taken at the instance of the United States. The United States' decision to blow up the Nord Stream natural gas pipeline may have been detrimental effect on the NATO's unity, warned investigative journalist Seymour Hersh, who earlier this month delivered an expose on the sabotage. Just leave that there, because that's exactly what started to happen. The nations are fragmenting, actually causing the questions. The policies of the United States are not coherent, they're not consistent, they're not affinity, they do not have a place to go, actually. They're just one that destroys the European people. And people in Europe, you need to consider that. You need to protect yourself. The Biden team has deeply rooted hatred for Russia, U.S. Congressman. Biden team has deeply rooted hatred for Russia. Senior State Department officials Victoria Nuland and Antony Blinken are dangerous fools, Paul Gosar declares. So here we have, I just read in the title, they have a deep hatred. This is hate crimes, what they're doing. Where's the ADL, folks? Where's the SPLC? Antony Blinken and Victoria Nuland can do nothing but promote hate against Russia. If all they can do is promote hate, then they're in the wrong position. And they need to be found out to be domestic terrorists, like the ADL would, unless Nuland and Blinken were on their side. Everything they say is hate speech. Why hasn't it been identified? This is not diplomacy working from a seat of foundation with a plan of protecting a nation from maybe the aggressions of a different nation. Now, this is just abject Zionistic hate that has a plan that fostered a Maidan that looks like it's fostering and encouraging Georgia right now. No, not the United States, Georgia, the one over in the Middle East, in the Eastern Europe. And when you understand what's going on there, it's kind of interesting. All that Georgia Parliament wanted to do was having people register as foreign agents if they were. It's the same law the United States has, apparently, for the most part, FARA, I think it was. And the United States didn't like that, so up goes Maidan in Georgia. Riots, death, destruction. So, United States foments war. These people, Newlands and Blinkens, foment destruction and the lack of peace. It's in them. It's a long historic thing in them. How U.S. false flags record prompts public to trust Hersh's Nord Stream bombshell even more. Exactly the reflection that you'd think. when you watch and you start, people start studying what the United States goes on underneath the tutelage, if you will, of these people that hate. There is not a whole lot you start to trust in them. You start looking for the next plausible observation. As I told you, I did. I'd rather accept Hirsch's take on this until those that had the opportunity, like the United States, could show evidence to the contrary than to agree the United States line and lies. And so this is an interesting insight. The truth coming right up, you cannot trust people who will not have integrity and fidelity to certain things. Well, they do have fidelity to warmongering. Not many people will put up with that, at least hopefully for very long. We're doing a pretty good job of doing that. But Pulitzer Prize winning journalist Seymour Hirsch previously teased about an unveiling a mechanism of Nord Stream destruction. Despite the media silence surrounding his latest expose, the journalist's research keeps attracting the public's attention as the U.S. and its Nordic allies remain tight-lipped about the incident. Not just that they're tight-lipped, it's that they have a history of being liars and wrong and deceptive, and their Pentagon's on the making inroads to make it more deceptive. Deep fakes, though. Putin says Russia has returned to discussing the nuclear potential of the UK and France. So it doesn't end with this. Russia's not stopping on all this with that attack. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said that Moscow has to return to discussing the issue of nuclear potential of UK and France because NATO has shown that it is a military bloc rather than a political one. And there it is, the big deal. It's turned militaristic instead of being that political protection. Russia's not messing around. Russia's not missing the point. And I couldn't appreciate that first statement. We tend to miss the mission creep that goes on in these places, why NATO needs to be disbanded, moved back away from its militaristic proclivities now that are being used as puppet and tools by people that hate in the United States to a more political, politically conducive protection where you talk about stuff first. Russia no longer at the mercy of global elite. Here's another statement that Russia's not having it. We're not listening to what you're saying. We're going to move on our own. It's probably the worst thing that the United States could see happen, and it's not the only one. Moscow will determine its own external conditions for development, the diplomat said. And so this is, again, one of those things as we move this along to show that Russia's not going to be persuaded by the lies and deception, and the world is going to follow that. So understand that that's not going to bode well for the United States. Russia is not leaving. New START, very important, ex-Pentagon advisor says. This is another feather in Russia's cap when they came back and said, we're suspending that START treaty. We're not walking from it. So they're not abandoning, as I said before, the United States abandoned Iran. Russia's not abandoning the agreement. They're suspending it. Why? Because the United States is a psychopath. The United States is a bully. And once they come to their senses, like Iran is asking, they'll do this, they'll re-engage, and there's no need to go to the nuclear response. Hope I've said something today to show us the reflections of the world through what the United States is doing to deceive and manipulate your perception that they're doing it to you at home. The representatives at home are likely missing the point and or will not fulfill what we need to get done in stopping this nonsense, and that's going to put a more pressure on us as we move into this bold new future. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or Nature Willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.